Hello, everybody. Welcome to Dark Knight Rises Revisited. We have the crew back. We swatched up seats just to throw a little razzle-dazzle in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Guys, Dark Knight Rises. Does it hold up for you, Nicholas?
About the same.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. I was always kind of just meh on it.
Mm-hmm. Morgan, your first time seeing the film.
Where do I begin? Okay, if you guys watched the video last time, you guys were kind of talking about how, like, oh, it's not as good as Dark Knight. And I don't know. I felt like it was just as good. I loved it. I loved it so much. I felt like the whole trilogy really wrapped up really, really well. I just loved everything about it. All the characters. I loved the villain. I loved the whole connection to Ra's al Ghul, going back to like the first movie, and just everything about it. It was so good.
The villain is in Bane, or the villain is in Talia al Ghul?
Both. So you liked the surprise?
This will be a full spoiler review, by the way.
A movie that came out 12 years ago.
Yeah.
What was the villain with the...
Bane?
Yeah, Bane. I liked Bane a lot.
Bane?
Yeah, I loved his voice. I loved how it was so much louder than everything else. I loved the twist.
The one sound Nick Nolan got right.
Yeah.
And then I loved the twist with Ra's al Ghul's daughter.
Yeah.
That was really good.
I think you're one of the few people that like that twist.
Yeah.
So too.
Right? Yeah. That's like a huge...
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so in Batman comic books, Talia al Ghul is a character, like it's a very well-known character. And people kind of clocked early, like just from the set, like, oh, is she going to play Talia al Ghul? Because she also has like the mark that the League of Shadows have that they show briefly. Mm-hmm. But it's like, basically, people don't dislike the fact that she's Talia al Ghul. They dislike that Bane was working for Talia al Ghul. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they dislike. In our first video, when Nick had referenced Scarecrow working for Ra's al Ghul, and he's like, I think that worked pretty well. And then I said, it worked much better than later in the series when another villain was working for somebody. I was referencing that.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. So.
Oh, no, I loved it.
I liked, but I think I like more if they had adapted Bane's backstory to being this sort of slighted League of Shadows member. Like, I don't have an issue with that. Or he was, like, the next successor to rise up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was, like, then just the other twist on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Hat on the hat.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of felt that way. Hannah, your thoughts overall on the revisit?
I feel similar to Nick, where it's... I don't dislike the movie. I don't think it would be my favorite, though. But it didn't disappoint me. Like, just kind of lukewarm. And that's how I always felt. I watched it and I go, yeah, no, that was solid. That was good. But I didn't rewatch it and dislike it more or randomly like it more.
I see. And like, the film has a lot to overcome because it is following up The Dark Knight, which is a near-perfect movie.
Well, I think that's the thing. I've never felt the necessary desire with... I know it's a trilogy, but I'm fine just turning on Dark Knight.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't feel like I'm like, man, I want to watch Dark Knight. All right, I'll do Batman Begins. I'll do Dark Knight. Obviously, we did for purpose of this show, but I've never felt like that strong desire.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like, you can't just watch one Lord of the Rings. You have to watch all three.
Exactly. Yes. And I've never felt that with this this trilogy. But that's also, I feel like, a superhero thing where I feel like I haven't necessarily felt the need to watch. Like, if I wanted to watch Iron Man 3 for whatever reason, I mean, I like Iron Man 3. I'm not like, all right, well, I got to do 1 and 2 first.
Yeah, I gotcha.
That's kind of how I felt about these.
Yeah, that's fair. And what I will say, I think that the lack of attention to detail is, I think, what brings this movie a bit down. The scripts for Batman Begins and Dark Knight are pretty airtight. And this one, the story in the beginning felt very messy. It felt like it was setting up way too much. Just a lot of things happening. Like, it quickly mentions, like, all right, it's been 8 years since Dark Knight. And this is Catwoman. This is Anne Hathaway. And then this is Bane. This is his backstory. He's related to Ra's al Ghul because we're trying to tie all this back together. And then the Harvey Dent Act. We can't repeal that Harvey Dent Act because all the promise that happened at the end of Dark Knight. And it's like, I just would focus on that. Like, that's the story that made Dark Knight so great, was how that ended. And I will say, though, from the moment the stadium explodes to the end of the movie, I think is really strong. Like,
it
that
is, except
half.
For me, the reveal, like,
yeah,
that of it kind of is a very loose comparison, but I think you'll understand where I'm going with this movie. To me, which it's weird because it didn't have like all the same like behind the scenes issue, but it feels like, you know how like they did Force Awakens, they did Last Jedi, and then Last Jedi got like all this mixed thing, and then Rise of Skywalker felt like it was trying to do Last Jedi and also be a wrap up as well. That was, yeah. This kind of felt like there was another movie missing between Dark Knight and this.
Yes. I was going to say, I said, I think on the last episode, I felt like current superheroes, they like throw things at the wall of like, it'd be cool if there was a dragon. Wouldn't it be cool if they fought in space? Wouldn't it be cool if Catwoman showed up? Wouldn't it be cool if Bane showed up? How do we put that together? Like it felt, but like the Dark Knight felt like, we're focusing on Joker. Scarecrow shows up, sure, but that's organic. But this just felt like disjointed things all put together. And I do agree it could have been two films. Another thing that this one made me think of, which is maybe a weird pull, it felt like the second season of Daredevil, where you have Elektra and Punisher, and I felt like those each could have been like second seasons,
yeah.
or like mm-hmm. two seasons in one, but they were like, let's put it together and do halves. I don't know why, that just like made me think of it watching Dark Knight, because you're juggling so many things, and I guess it works in the end, but the reason the Dark Knight works so well, I think, is because it moves, but it also breathes, where like it just feels more organic, and this, I don't know, just didn't. Like, they just shoved too much into one thing. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, and like, I feel all of that, but I do think the second half of the movie is so good that I'm like, oh, okay, I'm in. This is okay. And like, the only thing I don't like, other than the reveal and everything, is the take they use for her death scene is still so bad. And like, even like Marianne Cotillard, like when she's in an interview, she's like, yeah, we did lots of takes. I don't know why that's the one.
Or she just sort of...
Yeah, yeah, like just dies.
Yeah.
But I think Tom Hardy's performance is great.
Bane as works in spades for me. Yeah. I don't have any issues with Bane.
I feel like they should have just had Bane. Like, that's what I was saying. Like, they were putting too much in there. Like, I felt like they were like, now where do we put Talia? Like, how do we shove her in here? And then that's why the twist, and I thought that was going to work. But you're right. I feel like Bane worked throughout the entire thing, and you didn't need
he didn't
it.
Need to be working for somebody.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a big juggling act. Like, even rewatching it, I understand what they were going for, but, like, I feel like you could exclude Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character.
Mm.
I feel like we didn't really need to spend as much time as we did with Matthew Modine's character. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, all of a sudden, now there's this new cop who I'm supposed to care about.
Yes.
Whereas I feel like they could have just had Gordon really be that, because he is Commissioner Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of where there was just too much. And then you're following Catwoman and her. You know, it was an overstuffed movie with characters, where I think the supporting cast is what makes it strong, but they made it too big.
Yeah.
And I think that I remember when the film came out, there was a lot of backlash to Anne Hathaway's performance. I think she's great. I've always thought she was great as Catwoman, especially this version of Catwoman. I love the scene where she's in the bar and she shoots those guys, and when the cops come in, she's like, ah, and she like pretends to like she's a victim, and like, I think her performance is excellent. And I love the scene with her and Bruce when they're dancing at the ball, and there's that kind of underlying message of like, they're both in their masks, because he's just there as Bruce Wayne and she's you know. I thought that there's a lot of great stuff that doesn't go explored, and I think that's another just downstep of Dark Knight, is Dark Knight explores all the themes that it sets up. Whereas in this film, you have to put together like, oh, Jim Gordon's family left him because he has to go in public and talk kindly about the people, about the guy who almost murdered them.
Yeah.
So they were like, I can't do this, and left him while he has to suffer and just like, I have to eat the loss of my family so I can keep this lie going. Like, that's a great story. And it's kind of briefly mentioned, and it's like, well, I would love to watch that movie, you know?
Like, if you cut out every screen time that Matthew Modine has, which he has numerous scenes that don't involve anyone else, you know, and you could develop it into that storyline, it's much better, I think. Yeah. And with Catwoman, my only issue really with her is just, I never really bought into the romance of it.
I was going
to
say that.
So that, to me, affects the payoff of the ending. Because we spent so much time in the first two movies with Rachel, and that doesn't mean Rachel's death isn't... It's super impactful in The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
But then to have that ending is just much... But the whole concept is that Alfred wants to see him with someone in the life, but then it's kind of just hard as an audience to be like, yeah, I guess he ends up with Catwoman. It's Catwoman.
Yeah. I buy it just because I bought their scene together in the ballroom. And I think if you don't buy that scene, you won't buy the couple, period. And, you know, he is also juggling Talia or Miranda Tate
yeah,
as well, so that like it that doesn't help things. But I that does feel it doesn't feel as natural as it could have felt. I will say that. Mm-hmm. Morgan, what are your favorite parts from the movie? Things that you enjoyed.
I think the ending overall, kind of like you were saying, that second half of the movie was a lot better than the first. It almost felt like it was like a mesh of Batman Begins and Dark Knight, because they like I felt like redid all of the setup of Batman. Like he was like really, really low and they were like, oh, don't forget, but he is Batman. And then it's like, oh yeah, Dark Knight, and then it takes off. So yeah, it was kind of like a blend for me that I felt like. But I loved the ending when he saw him in the cafe.
Yeah.
It was so good. I loved the whole scene in the prison of him trying to climb out of the wall and not using the rope. Just everything I thought was really, really good. Mm-hmm. I am curious though, because they were using the Pittsburgh Steelers stadium and they were in the Pittsburgh Steelers colors, if that was like a requirement for them. Like, yeah, you can use our studio, but you still have to be gold and black.
I don't know. It might have been. I do know that those are Pittsburgh Steelers players. Like, what? Like really? Those were the players. Yeah.
Oh, that's
well,
cool.
Probably just made it easier for extra casting. If you're in mm-hmm. Pittsburgh, make it black and gold. Hey, come watch us film yeah. the new Batman movie mm-hmm. at the Steelers Stadium. Wear
black and gold.
Black and gold. I'm yeah. sure you have non-logoed black and gold.
Yeah.
Stuff.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. And then that scene kind of took me out of the movie a little bit with the editing of, like, you're in Pittsburgh, but then, wait, just kidding, it's New York City that's up in flames. And it's yeah. like, wait, but I thought they were in Chicago.
Yeah, no, these were kind of the few downfalls of having a Batman universe that takes place in the quote-unquote real world. Because, mm-hmm. like, you don't really get the negative sides of that from the first two films. Especially Dark Knight, it feels very real and grounded. But in this film, they're like, oh, the bat plane should look like tactical and military. It looks goofy. Like I would have bought it more if it looked like a bat, like the other films do, the other incarnations.
Yeah.
And same thing for something like that. Like someone who knows cities, they're gonna go, oh, Chicago, Pittsburgh, New York, very interesting. Like that, it's all Gotham. You know, there's a lot of that in there, and I think emotionally the movie does very well. The scene always gets me when Batman's about to take off with the bomb, and Gordon says, I'm gonna paraphrase, but he's like, shouldn't people know the hero who saved them? And Batman says, a hero can be anyone, even someone doing something as simple as putting the coat over the shoulders of a young boy to let him know the world's not over. And it quickly flashes back to Batman yeah. Begins when, like, Gordon helps young Bruce after his parents got shot. Like that is worth the whole movie. Like, that's such a great moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, Alfred crying at his grave. Yeah.
That's a rough one.
Unbelievable. The Robin Easter egg also gets mixed reception. Because Christopher Nolan makes it clear in his interviews, because he did not want to do Robin in the movies. And Christopher Nolan kind of says, he's like, no, he's not Robin. He's just going to be the next Batman. Mm. But like as an Easter egg, I'm like, his name can be Robin. Like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And so like that was kind of that. But my crowd, when I saw it in theaters opening night, did get the reaction. Like when they said that, everyone was like, ah, yes, okay. Like, it's very cool.
Well, I want to backtrack on what I said earlier about like, he didn't need to be in the movie. I understand what they're going for, and that mm-hmm. Bruce Wayne Batman couldn't do what he needed to do unless he knew Gotham had someone else to look after it.
Yeah.
So, like, I understand that arc. I just...
Because that arc started in Dark Knight because he thought Harvey Dent would be that guy.
Exactly, mm-hmm. yeah. So, like, that works. It was just, I think, maybe the other ancillary character or just the interesting creative choice of it.
Yeah. And it's cool to just see a bunch of actors that I like, Ben Mendelsohn is great in it.
Mendelsohn is in it, yes.
Fucking Glenn Powell's in it for a brief spell there.
Glenn Powell was in it?
Yeah, he plays one of the Wall Street guys, like when they're in the Wall Street scenes.
Oh my God,
yeah.
I did not clock him.
He was very young. He was in it. And who's the actor who played the doctor who's in Reno 911? And
Thomas Lennon.
Yes, I love him.
He's really
funny. I love him. And I was happy to see him pop up in a Christopher Nolan movie, like, yes, good for you.
You're like, you did it.
You did it.
Hell yeah.
And, this is such a small thing that bothers me about the movie. It's like they established that Batman gets like this technology to help his knees, like his leg, and he like kicks the brick off of a wall. And it's like at no point did he kick Bane in the face and like get the mask off of him. Like, yeah. I figured that was coming.
I was waiting for that too the whole time. Yeah. I was like, use the leg, use the leg.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing too. Like, comparing it to Dark Knight, where everything just feels super intentional. Like, I think I said before, like, yeah. Oh, if you want to turn your neck, we need to make it a padded, like, layered texture, scaled texture, which is going to make you susceptible to knives. And Batman was like, that's fine. Joker uses knives, so he's able to get stabbed. You know, it's like stuff like that where it's like, okay, well, then you're expecting Batman to kick because now he has no cartilage, so he needs knee support, but now it gives him extra knee strength. It was like those little things that build up on each other.
Yeah. And I will say, I like how the Batman versus Bane fight, there was no music. Mm-hmm. I think that was a very
decent hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah.
Best we've seen in the series, I think.
Yeah. And I will say, in the future incarnations of Batman, I don't think they've gotten better storytelling than these films yet. I think the Pattinson Reeves ones have the opportunity to do so. Those films are great. I think that the Batman's better than this film. I think it's better than Dark Knight Rises. But I think that the action in the future incarnations, and I'm gonna especially the Zack Snyder Batman, the action is insane. And like the improvements they've done with Batman action-wise is astounding. But that's the going back, it makes it look worse. Because at the time, when all we had was Michael Keaton action, George Clooney action, yeah, like, this action is great. Like, oh my God, he's throwing punches and kicks. This is brilliant. And then you watch Zack Snyder action, and then you go back, you're like, ooh, it's not that fast.
But, I mean, even look at The Flash, like, specifically the Michael Keaton action.
Yeah, they completely redid how his Batman does action.
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah. Which... whatever, that movie.
I mean, I would too if I had...
Happened, but like just to show like what they're able to do with Batman and how he's able to move and what they're able to do with it, I think that already shows the the next steps.
Yeah. So, you can reserve the right to change your answer. Rank the trilogy, go.
Me?
Yeah, you first.
Oh, we were literally talking about this earlier, right before, how it depends on the day. I feel like I can go back and forth. Like, Dark Knight, number one, of course. And then what I'm feeling right now. Batman Begins, Rises.
Okay, I feel the same way.
Oh, really?
No, I'm a very, Nick, no, I'm a very big fan of Batman Begins. I like that movie a lot. Yeah. Like, not as much as Dark Knight, but I like that film a lot. Like, I like, this is going to be controversial to the internet, I'm so sorry, I like Batman Begins more than I like The Batman. I love Batman Begins.
Oh, I think that's wrong.
No, everyone,
no, I know. Yeah.
Everyone disagrees with me, and that's totally fine, and I'm not saying The Batman's a bad film. The Batman is a very good film. I think just it has more flaws than Batman Begins has. That's all. Mm-hmm. And I think... Dark Knight, Batman Begins, Dark Knight Rises, but I would say The Batman is better than Dark Knight Rises.
Interesting.
There's my two cents on those incarnations.
I think mine would be the second one, the third one, the first one.
Yeah.
Okay.
You really like this one.
I did really like this one. I love a good, like, satisfying ending, and I felt like I got that with this.
Yeah.
And I just...
It's a very hard thing to end a trilogy.
Yeah.
And especially comic book movies almost never have full satisfying conclusions. Mm-hmm. Like, for Iron Man, it took 10 years for them, in several movies, for them to be like, okay, you can die, and it'll be satisfying. But, like, for Sam Raimi Spider-Man, they just canceled Spider-Man 4. You never got how that was supposed to end. Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, same thing.
Yeah.
Like, these movies never... Christopher Reeve Superman never got a happy ending.
That's kind of why you need to go in and, like, have a plan instead of just being like, yeah, I think I can make a sequel or teasing something. It's like, no, I'm making 3 movies and I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it did feel like an ending for the Christian Bale Batman. And it is very satisfying, I agree.
Yeah.
Your ranking.
I'm going to go... Dark Knight, Batman Begins, Dark Knight Rises. And I'll tell you why.
Wow.
I'll tell you why. Batman Begins, to me, has its flaws. But there's also this sort of fantastical element to it. You know, like, even just down to, like, the whole hyperspeed rail system, which we never see again. Like, even in the structure of the city. You know, the ninjas fighting on, you know, that... I find all that stuff just, it added this sort of fantasy element to Batman, which I found enthralling, but then you go to The Dark Knight, and it's super real,
mm-hmm.
right? They were like, this is the real world. We wanted to feel like this all could actually happen. I mean, chaotic aside, there's like funny little comic book moments in it and everything. But then Dark Knight Rises felt like they tried to go too far in that realism to its debt with like the Pittsburgh, the New York. And I think it just also scaled up way mm-hmm. too much into like, it's going to be a nuclear bomb. The military is here. The president of the United States is speaking on the White House. And I think that's when it kind of starts to sort of fall under its feet.
I feel exactly the same. Mm-hmm. The charm of Batman is, I feel like, always that Gotham is the world mm-hmm. where like it's always save Gotham, save the city, the people of Gotham. Like it feels like that's the most crucial thing. And this, when we cut to like the president or like the military outside trying to get across the bridges, it almost broke that suspension of disbelief is like the wrong word. Because, yes, he flies to Hong Kong in the other movie, but it's like nothing else matters but Gotham in the movies, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And then this was like, oh, I don't know. It just like broke outside of it. And I like that it's smaller.
And it goes back to what, sorry if I interrupted you. It goes back to what we were saying about the brilliance of the ending of The Dark Knight is that it's not even, sorry, my dog's going crazy. Hey, buddy. The brilliance of The Dark Knight was its third act wasn't even the highest stake in the movie. Like, it was just the two boats and when he had just blown up a hospital. Like, they actually scaled down so it would be more emotional. And this movie just constantly scales up. And you lose that grasp of tension because you're like, oh, well, they're not gonna end the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's kind of the whole, to kind of what you were saying.
And just going off of that again, I feel like Dark Knight and Batman Begins, and kind of like how I said, like, Gotham is the center of the world or whatever, this felt like almost every other superhero movie where like it's the world or America or whatever we got to save. I don't know. Like it just felt more like every other superhero movie almost in a bad way. Like it lost that.
This movie feels the least Christopher Nolan of all three.
Yeah.
There's a pacing thing. Like we always talked about Christopher Nolan doing the threes. Like I didn't feel like that we were following different mm-hmm. things at the same time. And, I had a thought. Oh, like in terms of things that I enjoyed more this time than I remember enjoying, the whole cave scene.
Yeah.
He's in the prison. In my recollection, that is way longer in the movie. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ, he's still in this cave? Like, can we get out? You know? And I think that it just didn't resonate with me at any point, maybe, which is why, because it's really not that long of the movie, but it is an interesting, like, and now we're here for a bit. But I get it, like, gives Bane and all them time to take over Gotham and everything. But, you know, he loses the fight to Bane. He goes to the prison, fixes his broken back, does some push-ups, does some chin-ups, gets the fuck out of there, and then can fight Bane. Like, I didn't buy into sort of that scaling up of, well, now I can fight him. He didn't use any weapons. It was still all the hand-to-hand. He didn't kick him with his knees, you know, versus something like Batman versus Superman. You know, he sees how dangerous Superman is, builds the whole fucking bat armor suit, but then it still is like, yo, I need to get yacked. And, like, he's doing, like, so much more training. And you see, like, this huge difference.
Yeah, something that, just going back to, by the way, I like this movie. It sounds like I don't like this movie. I like this movie a lot. But just in comparison to Dark Knight, in comparison is The Thief of Joy, so it sounds like we don't like it. But lack of attention to detail that we brought up earlier. There's a moment in this movie where Bruce Wayne just is back in Gotham, even though the bridges are blown out. They're guarding the frozen lakes. There's quite literally no way back in. And the movie does not even think about explaining how we got back.
But you need to know the autopilot's off.
Yeah, but it's very important you know that the autopilot does not work on the plane. But like, and I know why they didn't do it. Is because, like, ah, go, you know, like, they'll forget.
Batman is sneaky.
Because he is Batman. That's how he got back.
And he
also
drops in the middle of the frozen lake to then walk up to Gordon.
And also, that fire Batman symbol took some time. They have, like, 12 hours before the bomb goes off, and he's like, give me 5. I just got to do this gasoline thing real quick, and we'll get it done. Don't worry about it.
But Kangaroo Court's quite fun.
Listen, Scarecrow and Cillian Murphy as the judge was amazing.
Cut to him and he was the judge. You were so excited.
That was so good. I loved that. It was at that moment where I really felt all the tie-ins and connections to the other movies, and it felt satisfying.
My favorite things about the movie, other than the actual ending, I think it nails the emotional part of the ending, is, like you said, tying up the stories. And it comes down to two scenes, and it's one when Bruce sees kind of like this memory of Ra's al Ghul in the cave. And Ra's al Ghul basically tells him, like, there's more than one way to be immortal. And one of it is through, like, being this idea of me. Because it references Ra's al Ghul, but it's also referencing Joker and how, like, that idea can carry. Because Bane and Joker are kind of similar in what they want. And they didn't reference Joker in the movie to be respectful to Heath Ledger and stuff. You could tell Joker would have fit in this movie wonderfully. But also, the quick flashback of Batman Begins, of his dad coming down in the cave, grabbing his hand and saying, why do we fall? And then it like cuts back to Bruce. Like that stuff, like building up to him getting out of the cave, was great. Like, it's so good.
Do you think if Heath Ledger was alive and they planned to put him in this movie, do you think he would have been one of like the ghosts that he sees too? Like hearing like both sides, like almost like a devil, like Ra's al Ghul Joker?
This is pure speculation.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple places he could fit. One, he could have been one of the prisoners in Blackgate that gets busted out.
Well, I imagine
out.
The movie was written without him from the beginning.
Yeah, because
right?
he had passed away, so previously.
So this is operating on the assumption he probably would have been in it.
Yeah. Also, in the novelization for Dark Knight Rises, it says they took everyone from Arkham and put them in Blackgate, except for Joker, they left him in Arkham. Mm-hmm. So that's like the in-universe book explanation. But I think I could have seen him being on Kangaroo Court instead of Cillian Murphy. I could have seen Joker doing that and having fun with it. But I also could see, like the Matt Reeves Batman movie does, I could see there being a situation where, and not like in the official jail cell, like on the streets, Batman is defeated and he runs into Joker and like has this conversation with him of like, how do I stop this guy? Mm-hmm. And Joker, like, you know, kind of playing with him.
Joker doesn't want to kill him because they're destined to do it forever, so he just goes, gives him advice, and then fucks off.
And like, what would have been really great to see, like, and this is just my fan, I'm basically doing fan fiction right now, is like in the montage of all the people like watching TV, like the Batman statues being unveiled, like Batman is dead. It would have been amazing if like it cuts to like a jail cell and there's a jail TV of Batman dead and one of them is Joker like sitting there and there's a look on his face that's like, he's not dead. Like as if he knew, you know? Like that would have been cool. But I'm not saying they should have done any of that. Like it completely should not have done that to out of respect for the Ledger family.
I don't even think you need Joker in this to begin with.
Because the Harvey Dent stuff was kind of what was important to the Joker is implied in that.
Yeah.
Part, because Joker created Two-Face, so.
Exactly, yeah. You feel the remnants of it. Anyway.
Yeah.
And I think Scarecrow's just like, oh, we need the judge.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't it be him? I like him popping up. Yeah.
When Christian Bale was doing press for Thor 4, someone asked him, because of course he's on a press tour in a comic book movie, they're going to ask him, they're like, would you ever play Batman again? And he goes, only if Chris Nolan called me and said, like, I have another one, then I would do it. But other than that, I wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't think it will ever happen. But, like, Chris Nolan's kind of young. He's in his 50s, right? I think maybe when he's, like, early 70s, it's been 20 years, he might call up Christian Bale and be like, so Dark Knight Returns, you in? I'd be so hype.
Amazing. You're there opening night. I get to see you in the theater this time. I'm not missing out.
Yeah. And
Rises was the only one I caught in theaters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shame, dude. Listen, 2025 is 20 years of Begins. Mm-hmm. So if they put that back in theaters, I'm there. Mm-hmm. 2028, Rises, Dark Knight's a little further, but we can do it. We can do it.
Gives me something to live for.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. But, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you.
That's top tier stuff.
Riddler's still alive.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
We'll get him again.
So, final thoughts on Dark Knight Rises and Dark Knight Trilogy. Nick, we'll start with you.
Oh, man. Solid trilogy. They don't make them like this anymore. Yeah. Go Gordon.
Go Jim Gordon.
Go Jim Gordon. All cops are beautiful.
In the case of Jim Gordon.
In the case of Jim Gordon.
That was great.
Also, why not put Harvey Bullock in the movies?
Right.
We need him.
Yeah.
I have faith in Reeves.
He won't put Harvey Bullock in.
He will.
You should make Harvey Bullock a canine dog. It's just Gordon and the dog.
He's so good.
That'd be so good, wouldn't it? He knows it. He knows it'd be good. Yeah. Okay.
Harvey's just like Gordon's drunk partner.
That's good.
It's like, it's basically what the guy, remember the guy from the first, from Batman Begins, that like is in like the Hawaiian shirt the whole time and like goes to the, that's not Harvey, but that's the essence
the vibe.
Of Harvey.
Yeah.
So it's like, why not just make, but I think it's supposed to be that it was like when he was detectives, like they were, anyway, I like Harvey.
Morgan?
Next.
I loved it, the trilogy so much. I can't believe I have never seen any of these movies, so I'm really glad I got a chance to finally watch all of them. And I thought they were great. I'm full in on Batman. I want to continue watching more Batman movies. I definitely want to watch Ben Affleck.
Yes. yes.
Maybe we can keep just That's rolling
so hard
up with
to
the
do,
Batman.
Though. Just clips.
Yeah.
No, but I thought it was, yeah, really nice. I think what you said is true, that a lot of superheroes, superhero movies don't get that satisfying ending. So it was really nice to just have the three wrap up satisfying. I would definitely rewatch them.
I liked all three. Similar with you guys. Solid trilogy, great films. I think I said it during our first one, but I feel like this trilogy just really set up the trajectory of superhero films for this era. And you know, before Marvel really hit the ground running. Solid films. I love Batman. This was my first Batman. Like, I watched this growing up and then went back to Keaton and everyone else. So I do feel very nostalgic for these movies, too, because these also really got me into superhero movies. I didn't get to see them in theaters, but I did go back and watch them, and I have a warm place in my heart for them because, I watched them and I was like, yeah, superhero movies are cool. So going back and rewatching them was fun. We did, you know, say some not great things about Rise, but I do think overall it's still very, very fun. Again, it's just hard to go after Dark Knight, but overall fun. And I will say it was very fun watching with you, Morgan. It was fun to like see, because we've all seen them before, but like you catching different things and the end. So it's fun to have like an audience that hasn't seen it before and then getting to like relive it with you. Yeah.
You calling Robin and us having to be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he's a cop. Why would he be Robin? Yeah.
We did gaslight you.
Oh, yeah, we gaslight you a little bit.
We were like, what are you talking
about? We
wanted
the satisfaction of letting you know you're right.
Because you guys have seen them all before too, I kept on making like gasping noises, and then no one else, like if I was in a big theater, you know, I feel like I would have had everyone else, and I was just like looking around like, oh, this is awkward. I'm like, oh, Pittsburgh, and you guys are like, yeah
obviously. No. Oh,
where do we go from here though? Do we go back to 89 and watch those, or do we go into like the actual serious, like go to Reeves and then go back to the fun?
I wouldn't go back yet. Yeah. What I would do personally, since she's already seen Man of Steel.
Oh, God. BVS?
No.
We do Batman v Superman, the Ultimate Edition.
Yes.
And because that is the first Ben Affleck Batman appearance, and it's a direct sequel to Man of Steel. So it's like, in that world, what does Batman look like in that world?
Yeah.
And it's a Batman who's much older. Like, he's like in his 40s, 50s.
Mm-hmm. And Man of Steel was the one we watched.
Yeah, it was
recently,
the
right? Travel.
One.
Okay.
Yeah, the one that where they called the cops on me for my sound system.
Yes, yes. That was memorable.
Yeah.
Narcs.
Narcs, for sure. But, you know, we'll see. Mm-hmm. And then we got to watch Zack Snyder's Justice League.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
See that day. I think I'm
is
sick.
Is that how you can do all of Affleck? Because, like, it's just little things.
You can show her the clips from Suicide Squad. And
that's it, right? And then...
Well, he's in Flash, and he's in... I'm not watching theatrical Justice League. I'm so sorry. I won't do it.
No, I think you go... Man of Steel just into
BVS,
Zack Snyder. Yeah. But then, do you like have to watch all the other ones to get to Zack Snyder?
No, I think. Well, I mean, I think she would straight up like Wonder Woman. So I think just watching Wonder Woman would be great.
Wait, I've seen that one.
There you go.
Wait, the first Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
The best movie. I loved it.
Oh, yes, we're perfect.
Yes,
then we're caught up.
Yeah.
Wait, there's a Batman in that.
So when she gets the letters in the beginning from Bruce Wayne, it's Ben Affleck. Mm-hmm.
I do need to rewatch it.
It's great.
That's about it. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, my thoughts.
Yeah.
Dark Knight Rises, I think, is a very good movie. Just by Nolan standards, especially at the peak of his career, especially watching Batman Begins, Dark Knight back to back, and had we watched Prestige and Inception 2, it would have been like, oh, this is a step down from those.
I want to watch Prestige.
I will watch Prestige with Morgan, 100%. You want to talk about twists in a movie, Morgan? Wow. But
great movie.
Yeah, but that will be... But with that being said, I still think that this superhero movie is better than a lot of other superhero films. I think it's a very satisfying ending to the Dark Knight trilogy, which is an incredible trilogy. And I think that it kind of was part of the reason that superhero movies became this huge thing. I mean, not just the only thing. There are a lot of things that did that. Sorry, I hit the mic. But, you know, the 1-2-3 punch of this trilogy, it had Warner Brothers, DC, and the world in a stranglehold of how pop culturally significant they were and how much money they made. And it was awesome to see and to rewatch. I had lots of fun doing it. I love these films.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Wow. So we got to figure out what we're doing next.
Yes. Let us know what you'd like us to revisit. Leave a comment. We'd love to take a crack at it.
Something new, or do we just truck on with Nolan? Where does it go from
here? Do we go Nolan? Do we do all of Denis Villeneuve, since Morgan loves Dune?
The rest of the Batman.
The rest of the Batman.
Jungle Cruise.
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
Colette Sarah.
Yeah, all of his films. But yes, thank you guys so much for watching, and hopefully we'll see you on a new one soon.